So Luke 12, verses 49 to 59. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family, divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said to the crowd, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, 'It's going to rain,' and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, 'It's going to be hot,' and it is. Hypocrites! You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled on the way, or your adversary may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny."
To-do lists. I think they're a little bit like Marmite. Either you love them, or you hate them. My wife loves to-do lists. She runs her life by them. And I think nothing gives her more satisfaction in the day than ticking things off her list as she gets them done. I, however, absolutely hate them. I much prefer to organise my day into strict order of interest and enjoyment. I leave all the boring jobs behind and I do the ones that are most interesting. And that's great. It makes for great fun days. But it often means that the really important stuff, well, it gets forgotten, or it gets delayed, or I end up still in the office at 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening trying to finish it off when I should have done it at 8 o'clock that morning. Well, today, in this final talk on this little section of Luke, we're going to look at Jesus' to-do list for us today. And the encouraging thing for those of us who hate to-do lists is it's very short. It's got just one item on it. Jesus' to-do list for us today says this: if you've not already done so, be reconciled to your judge before it's too late. If you've not already done so, be reconciled with your judge before it's too late. So Luke, in this passage, he helps us understand this point by organising Jesus' teaching for us into three very clear sections, and they're marked on your handouts. Firstly, Jesus warns us that he is going to judge us. He's going to divide us all into two distinct categories. Secondly, he warns us that that judgment is imminent. It's not a long way away, it's very near. And thirdly, he encourages us, be reconciled while we still have a chance. Now, we're going to turn and look at each of those three in just a minute. But before we do so, it's worth just spending a moment to stop and think. What does Jesus mean in verse 58 on the handout, in the passage, when he says, "Try hard to be reconciled"? Well, being reconciled with Jesus means, in this context, that we're to repair our standing with him. We're supposed to settle up accounts, make peace. And for some of you, especially if this is the first of these talks in Luke that you've come to, may be wondering, well, why do I need to? Why do I need to be reconciled to Jesus at all? Well, throughout these talks in Luke, we've clearly seen that Jesus has been warning the listeners of the dangers of hypocrisy. And that warning's been very specifically for the Pharisees. He's been saying to them, there will be consequences for your hypocrisy. That is, the pretense that the Pharisees were up to. They tried everything they could to look good and moral and upstanding on the outside, but they were really living lives that were full of wickedness on the inside. And I know from my own life that that same accusation can be levelled at me. I try my best to look very good on the outside, but inside I know that my inclination is to live my life with the sole motivation of pleasing myself. And it's probably true for all of us, that if we really stop and examine our lives, we break God's laws continually. We try to please ourselves. We live lives that show no regard at all for God's kingship, his sovereign rule over his creation. And that way of living, that hypocrisy, is going to have consequences. Jesus has been warning us in these three talks on Luke that we've had so far. And so today we see Jesus warning us, be reconciled while you still can. So holding that in mind, let's look at those three points in the passage that Jesus makes. And they should be set out in an outline on your handout. So point number one, Jesus is going to be our judge. And that's from verse 49 to 53. This whole section of Luke, all the way back to chapter 9, has dealt with Jesus' teaching as he heads on the way to the cross. And there, at the cross, we know he's going to die. And as he dies, he's going to pay the full penalty for his people's sins. This death on a cross, I think is the baptism that Jesus refers to here in verse 50. Do you see it? He says, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. However, once Jesus has been baptized, he says, the time for this dividing of people is going to start. Cast your minds back, if you were here 2 weeks ago, to the talk that I gave on the parable of the rich fool. Do we remember that? Jesus told that parable in response to a request that was made of him by a member of the crowd. This man said, Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus responded first by saying, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? And it's this idea of Jesus being an arbiter, or literally a divider. It's precisely the same sense of division that Jesus is talking about here in verse 52. Luke, by reminding us of Jesus' teaching earlier in the chapter, helps us see what Jesus is talking about. Jesus has come and is going to divide people up into one of only two categories. That division is going to be dependent on just one thing. Have we been reconciled to our judge or not? The reality of this is very stark. The world's population is not one day going to be divided up into lots and lots of little groups with different outcomes for each of those groups. The division is going to be into two: those who are in and those who are out. And as Jesus carries on in these subsequent chapters in Luke, we're going to see the consequences of being out are very serious. If you're here this lunchtime and you wouldn't really call yourself a Christian, thank you very much for coming, but please take what Jesus has to say seriously. There isn't some option of sitting on a fence. A middle, third way, a way out there is. One day Jesus is going to come back, and when he does, everyone will be divided into one of just two groups. So that then is Luke's first point, I think, in this passage this lunchtime. Jesus is going to be our judge, and there will be, for all of us, only two outcomes. Point number two, that day of judgment, it's not a long way away, it's imminent. Or to put it another way, don't mistake the days that we're living in. And we see that's from verses 54 to verse 56. From this point on in the passage, we have to be a little bit careful. First of all, we have to understand, what did Jesus mean when he was saying this to his original audience? And then we have to try and go, what does that mean for us today? So first of all, we need to think about to his original audience. Well, if you remember, going back to chapter 11, we saw Jesus comparing himself to Jonah. In fact, he was saying, I'm one greater than Jonah. Jonah was an Old Testament prophet, and he was tasked with the job of warning the enemies of God's people about an imminent future judgment that was coming. And this is the error that Jesus is rebuking his listeners for. He's saying, the days you're living in are just the same. They're immediately leading up to the cross, which, as much as it is a day that will win great forgiveness, it is also to be understood as a day of warning of great judgment. And this is how foolish the hypocritical Pharisees are being. They strut around the markets and they claim to be able to tell what the weather is going to be tomorrow based on signs they see around them. But they completely ignore the one big warning sign. The sign of the one much greater than Jonah, that is Jesus, who right now is living amongst them. He's flashing, as it were, in neon orange, a big warning sign to them. They need to take action. They need to be reconciled. But the Pharisees ignore it. Do you see that in verse 54? Jesus says, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain, and it does. Again, in verse 55, he says, when the south wind blows, it's going to be hot. And it is. The pattern's clear. When you see the sign, the event is going to happen right away. When you see the cloud, the very next thing is rain. When the hot wind blows, the very next thing is it's going to get really hot. And it's just the same with Jesus. When you see that much bigger sign of judgment coming, know, understand the sign. Judgment is coming, and it's coming soon. So what about us? How should we think about this section of teaching? Well, I think the point is that we need to recognize the sort of days that we're living in. We also make all sorts of bold claims, don't we, about the future? In my job, I try and predict financial markets, or maybe you're someone who spends his time trying to work out the direction of trends in geopolitics, or even just trying to work out what the weather is going to be at the weekend. Much more important, Jesus says to us today, don't mistake the sort of days we're living in. Don't mistake the signs all around us of what is coming in the future. It's very prevalent to say today, or just to implicitly live our lives as though there are an unlimited number of days that lie in front of us. But the truth is that one of two ways, the number of days ahead of us, is finite. Either we're going to run out of time ourselves, i.e. we're going to die, or one day the Lord Jesus is going to return and he will draw all things to a close. And this idea of some expiry date to the world, that one day creation will have run its course, everything will be wrapped up, everything that's been done in secret will be revealed, and everyone will be lined up and judged one by one by one. It's an idea that's completely rejected by society, but that doesn't mean that it's not true. That's Jesus' warning to us in this middle section of the passage. Don't mistake the sort of days you're living in today. Don't swan around living your lives thinking that there's an unlimited number of days of peace lying in front of you. Just because we can predict that tomorrow it's going to rain again doesn't mean that tomorrow is actually going to happen. Jesus is going to return and creation will be wrapped up. And this great judgment that Jesus is warning about is going to happen. And there's nowhere we can go to hide from it. And so finally, point number three, from verses 57 to 59, Jesus says, because these things are true, be reconciled today whilst you still can. Again, the temptation here is to jump straight to us, isn't it? To think about how these verses apply to us. But first, we have to understand what Jesus was saying to his original listeners. I accept there's a little degree of ambiguity, but I think on balance, what Jesus means is that his listeners were literally going with him to the cross. They were walking with him, weren't they? Standing right by him. Right now, in Jesus' presence, or right then, sorry, in Jesus' presence, they had the opportunity to be reconciled to him. And Jesus says to them, do so now before it's too late. And we too have this same opportunity, but in a slightly different way. God has been very merciful to us. The days go on and on. There is yet another day and another day and another day where he delays Jesus' returning to give us an opportunity too to be reconciled to the judge. But every day we get one day closer to that final day when Jesus will come again as judge. On that day we will all be lined up in that great heavenly courtroom, one by one in the dock. And on that day, at that moment, it will be too late. If we have not been reconciled with our judge before then, if we have not turned and placed our trust in the Lord Jesus and his death in our place on the cross, then the only judgment that will come down in that courtroom is guilty. Do you see verse 59? Look down at it with me. It's a serious warning. You will not get out until you have paid the last penalty. But there is good news. And as we finish, let's concentrate on that wonderful opportunity that there is to be reconciled, to settle up with our accuser right now while we still have a chance. Well, some of you may be thinking, that's very well, but how do I do it? How do I get reconciled with my judge Jesus? Well, the answer is in the very next passage, which I know is outside the context of this talk specifically. But if you look down on your handouts, you'll see that I've put down verse 3 of chapter 13. Do you see, Jesus says, unless you repent, you too will all perish. This is the great promise that Jesus has for you today if you've not yet been reconciled with your judge. Repent, and you can be. Repentance in the Bible is far more than just feeling sorry or expressing regret for the things we've done. It refers to a whole of life turning around. My old vicar, when I was a student in Durham, once told the story of how he set off from Durham to drive to London. And he reached the A1, and instead of turning right and heading south, he turned left and started going north. It took him a while, but eventually he realised his mistake, I think probably as he passed the Angel of the North, and he realised he had to stop driving in the wrong direction. He had to turn around, come off the A1, and get back on it going the right way. And this is a much more complete picture of what Jesus means by repentance. He says, we need to recognise the way we're living is wrong. We need to stop, turn around, and start living lives headed in the opposite direction. This is the item then that Jesus wants you to cross off your to-do list today. If you've not done it, realize that on the cross, Jesus has paid the full, complete penalty for your sins. And in order to be reconciled to your judge, you need to do just one thing. Repent. Turn your back on your old way of living and start following him today. Jesus says to us in this passage three very simple things. He says, one, I will come as judge. Judgment is coming. Two, there'll be no sitting on the fence to escape it. It's coming soon. So three, be reconciled to Jesus now whilst you still can.